It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Many people suffer from a problematic anxiety that may not reach the level of full disorder, but we're going to find out what that is, and my guest is compassion-focused psychologist, Dr. Dennis Turch. So, Dr. Turch, how do we tell the difference between our normal everyday worries and the ones that are sort of over and above, where worrying actually is affecting your life?
Well, thanks for having me here, and it's a great question to begin with. I mean, the official sort of medical, psychological line on that is if your anxiety is causing you much distress or impairment in your functioning, that it's getting in the way of your life, then it's, you know, a clinical syndrome. But I like to think of it as, you know, how much of your life are you giving up in your struggle for anxiety? And would it be possible for you to make your life bigger and to live a life that feels more rewarding if you were able to get this anxiety more sort of under control?
Okay, so, you know, your anxiety needs to get under control, and you talk about compassion-based therapy. You know, compassion, so we're being empathetic. What does this mean? I mean, for someone such as myself, who suffers sometimes from this anxiety that doesn't paralyze me, but yet stops me in my tracks for a few minutes, what is compassion-based therapy?
Well, compassion-focused therapy was developed originally in England by Paul Gilbert, who's a cognitive behavior therapist there, who was working with high shame clients. And compassion-focused therapy bases this sort of compassion response, which is a sensitivity to the presence of suffering in people around us or even in ourselves, coupled with a real deep motivation to alleviate that suffering. And as it turns out, that emotion, that experience, is very related to the human caregiver instinct. And we know that throughout our lives, the loving attention, support, and kindness that we receive from others will shape the way our brains develop, the way we behave, and how much anxiety we have. So we try to systematically and gently train our clients in cultivating compassion for themselves, so that problems like depression and anxiety can be better regulated and they can live fuller lives.
So is there a difference between anxiety and all-out panic or fear? I mean, you know, as a parent, we are afraid our children are going to run into the street. Mm. Or, you know, in the wake of the recent shootings, we're now afraid of those kinds of things happening at our school. Is there a difference between just anxiety and then all-out panic and or fear?
Absolutely. Fear is generally considered to be an emotional response, a detection of a threat that's imminent. So like if your child is playing in the street and they're running towards the street, well then your threat detection system is activated and it ought to be activated. Anxiety is a uniquely human experience, a uniquely human emotion, where our threat detection system gets activated just on the basis of sort of our projections into the future when there isn't an imminent threat, like, oh, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? And panic is the physical experience of that anxiety where we become so anxious, where our mind gets caught into these loops about what possibly could go wrong, that our emotions of threat get elevated to the point where we feel like our hearts race, like we begin to be worried we may have a heart attack or a stroke. So all of these are different functions of the threat detection system. Fear is more healthy, more adaptive. Like if I smelled smoke, I would be afraid there was a fire. That makes sense. But if I'm lying in bed at 3 in the morning wondering, will I ever smell smoke? Will there ever be a fire? That's probably something I'd want to take care of and do about inside.
So, okay, because that right there, what you just pointed out, laying there worrying about something that isn't happening, you know, fear of something that is actually going on. Do most of us fear things that are not really going to happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's that wonderful quote. I think it's been attributed to Mark Twain or Yogi Berra. I don't know where it really comes from, but like 99% of the bad things in my life never, ever happened. You know, so much of our what-ifs and our worries are about things that are projections of the mind. Really briefly, this is what makes us different from animals. So like a zebra, if it were by the watering hole and there was a lion that almost got a hold of him, for a couple of minutes, maybe 10 minutes, that zebra's threat detection system would be elevated, and then it would turn to a place of safeness, a sense of safeness. Humans are different because we have this capacity for thought and symbolic representation, so we don't return to a safe place very quickly at all.
We can hold on to these things.
Yeah, exactly. We get stuck in loops where our thoughts and our imagination and our mind is generating all sorts of worries, so that if the zebra had a human brain, he'd be up in the middle of the night saying, am I a good enough zebra? Are my kids going to get into zebra college? And so what compassion does is it allows us to return to that safe base, that place where we feel calm, soothed, and prepared for everyday action.
So give us your best advice. Now, you know, when we have fears that are rational, children running into the street, you do something about it. You teach them about the dangers of the street. You teach them about these things. But what about those fears that are irrational, like, you know, you've got a pot of hot water and you picture it falling on your child, even if your child isn't anywhere around or whatever. What do you do about those irrational fears? Can you talk yourself out of those things?
Well, this is exactly the moment that we work with in compassion-focused therapy. What we do is we cultivate, using imagery and meditation, relaxation exercises and cognitive restructuring exercises, a way that in those moments you can activate your compassionate mind. You're in your threatened mind, you're in your anxious mind, and through the activation of technically what's called the oxytocin vasopressin system, which is our secure attachment system, we can train our minds and actually create new connections in the brain so that in the presence of this anxiety, we can soothe ourselves and feel a sense of courage and empowerment through this sort of cultivation of compassion.
You have such a nice voice, Dr. Turch. I can see where this would work in your favor, doing what you did. Give us a little bit of a sort of a positive self-talk that we can use at those times.
Well, I'm really glad that you mentioned that. I mean, one of the things that we can do as a first step sort of practice is when we begin to feel our minds cooking up these threats and these anxious thoughts, we can remember to just slow down. To pause, to feel our feet beneath us, to feel grounded to the earth, slow down the pace of our breathing, maybe even put our hand over our heart so we can feel some of the warmth of that presence, and remind ourselves that life is very hard, that this is not our fault that we're feeling this anxiety, and that really right now in this moment we wish well for ourselves and we wish to be supported and taken care of. And that's sort of like a first little taste of walking forward into this more compassionate relationship to our emotions.
It's a good mantra, and I know that thanking some higher power can help too. In the last just 30 seconds or so, your best advice for overcoming our anxiety, panic, and fear.
I think if we return to compassion, just like we would, you know, no matter how many times your child might feel anxious about going to school or anxious about, you know, stepping out into their lives, you would want to meet that with love, support, and authority. And the best thing we can do is to cultivate that part of ourselves so that we can hold ourselves in kindness and share that same kind of support, love, and authority moment by moment with ourselves.
Positive self-talk, sharing ourselves in kindness. I think that these are wonderful ways for us, especially this time of the year, listeners, to keep ourselves kind of on that path of calmness, because, boy, it sure can get crazy. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.